Welcome back to the Anamkara Energy Healing Podcast and a subject I'm really interested in, and that's shamanism. I went along to interview Hayley Trezise, who's a shamanic practitioner who lives not too far away from me in Oxfordshire. We talked all about shamanism, journeying, her work in the spirit world, and a healing session. What would that look like? What do people look for when they come for shamanic healing, and how she works in the unseen realm? Now, before we started our conversation, Hayley called in the spirits by using her voice and the drum. So the next thing you're going to hear to give this whole episode a bit of special flavour is going to be that calling in the spirits. So to start with, let's talk about shamanic practice in general. How long has it been going?
Well, as far as I'm aware, it's been going probably for about 40,000 years. So quite some time. It's the oldest healing method that is known to man, and certainly known to me and my teachings. And it's almost like the basic core of that healing 40,000 years ago is ongoing and has spread out in branches in various other ways, you know, in modern life now.
Okay, so let's get into what shamanic healing is all about. And can you describe what a session looks like and what kind of issues people come to you for?
Yeah, I think everybody works differently, and of course I'm only going to talk about myself and the way that I would work. If a client would come to me, typically they would come to me with various illnesses, and that could be physical, mental, spiritual, and so they could feel depressed, they could feel drained, they could have a broken leg that's repetitively causing them trouble. And so that would be the first port of call, or even the sort of a curiosity of wanting some kind of spiritual healing, and therefore they would reach out to a shamanic practitioner like myself. And the process of how that would work, some clients would come to me and say they want a soul retrieval, for example, or they would come and they would want a power animal retrieval, and that would be very clear. But the thing that I would always do, regardless of a client's want, I would do a diagnostic journey. A diagnostic journey is, I would do a shamanic journey, which I'll happily talk about in a moment, do a shamanic journey to the spirit world and access information about that person and what healing they needed, you know, what type of healing that they would need, regardless of what they gave to me.
Okay, fascinating. So let's just unpack shamanic journeying. People have probably heard about it, some people might have experienced it, but just explain in your eyes what that is.
So the basic, there's principles for shamanism, certainly with my practices, but with shamanism there is the main core principle is partnership with the spirit world. I wouldn't be doing any healing work by myself, because that just I wouldn't be a shamanic practitioner. It's in partnership with the spirit world. So to access that, I would do a shamanic journey. And a shamanic journey, there is three worlds. I'm going to be really basic about this. So you journey to the spirit world. There's the upper world, the lower world, and the middle world. And wherever I would choose to go, you typically the upper or the lower. That is where I go to meet with my spirit allies in the spirit world. And then they would give me the information. And the information is given not just through vision. A lot of people think that, oh, it's just given to you with visions, but it's all of your senses. So you kind of have to be very open and very clear before you do a shamanic journey. So you basically empty yourself out before going on a journey. So all your ego basically can step aside.
And is that what you mean by spirit-led work?
Yes, absolutely. So it's so like the partnership with the spirit world is vital. So yes, spirit-led work. They are steering the ship. They are in charge. I'm as such the vessel. Of course, I'm facilitating. I'm human. I'm here. I'm doing the work. I'm the, you know, the bridge, basically. You know, I'm the bridge between our reality and non-ordinary reality, which is the spirit world. So I'm, yeah, the spirit-led. They're in front of me, or with me, or even merged with me. That's another story.
And you talked a little bit about soul fragmentation, or, you know, can you just explain what soul loss is and what how that connects to the work in a healing capacity?
Yeah, I think soul loss is soul retrieval, which is the actual work that what I would do, is really vital and a really important work, actually, because from the moment that we were born right up until the moment we die, actually, we have the physical body and then we have a spirit too. And when our spirit becomes fragmented, like you said, or broken or lost, so the part of our soul can go and leave us. And it's almost like that fight or flight situation when we're in a situation which is many, many reasons. Physical, you could suddenly be in a car accident, you could get soulless because you're just going, oh, your spirit just, I just want to leave, you know, or just does leave. Or through trauma, if you were suddenly confronted with physical abuse or an action actually happened, that can create soul loss. They're just two quite dramatic examples, but it can actually be really simple as well. Just walking into a room, something really frightens you, you know, someone screams and it's like, oh. So you can have, you know, small soul loss with that. And physical soul loss as well. If you were going to break your arm, or for example, that physical aspect, the spirit that was a part of that arm can disappear into the spirit world. And that's where it goes. It goes into the spirit world, into source, whatever we want to call it. Yeah, that's pretty basic, but yeah, that's soul loss.
Okay, so the client needs to be curious, but what would bring a client to your door? I mean, would they specifically know that there's a problem with, losing a part of their soul?
Well, there will be some clients that are very aware or very, you know, spiritually connected or even just connected to themselves, actually, if they feel, you know, that their soul is just, or they're just feeling a bit, and they have a curiosity of the work that I would offer. But it's open to anybody. You know, anybody with a curious mind can step in and have this. And the key into that is to have the interest or some kind of curiosity to something in the non-ordinary reality, something that we can't see, that there is some substance, something, even if it's just a tiny little thread. And if you don't have that and you're just sceptical and you're quite judgmental of it, and that's fine, you know, that's not judgment in itself at all. But some people find, this kind of work a bit woo-woo, or can be quite fearful of it, actually, because we can't physically see it. That's typically what it is, that we can't physically see it, so therefore how can it be real? But of course, you know, when you're on the other side, like myself, and, you know, I know that for you as well, it's just, it is real. And you just, we just see it, perceive it, as I like to say, from a very different perspective. So, yeah.
So clients come to you, you obviously have a conversation about what they're looking for, what they perceive they might need. Just give us the nuts and bolts. What does a client lie down? Do they need to journey? Or how does it work from their end?
Yeah, so I would, before they turn up, their appointment would be made. And they would, at that time they would turn up, I would previously do, before they've arrived, I would do a diagnostic journey. And I would relay that information when they arrived and say, you know, this is the information, this is the shamanic journey that I've been on, and this is the story that I've been given from the spirit world. And this is the healing work that I've been told that is your need, that you need at this moment in time. It's very much about time, you know, everything is done out of time. So if that client's come to me right there and then in their life, it's what's the most needed for that person. And I mean, there's different elements. So we have soul loss, extraction, you know, power animal retrieval when we lose our power. So an animal comes back and gives you power. There's depossession and there's curse unraveling. So it would depend on all of those things. And then the work, generally, they do vary. Yeah, make a comfortable space. They can lay down, they can sit down, they can stand up. I would call in the spirits, so using my drum, the rattle, my voice. And each healing is different. But generally, people very simply just need to be present and be comfortable. If they need to stand up and move, that's fine, you know. So that's, it's really important that a client knows that. And the work that I'm doing, whether I'm making wacky noises and drumming my drum and bringing back, you know, a soul part. So if I was going to bring back a soul part, there would be a, it's an energy that I'm seeing, and it's an actual physical, non-seeable energy that is coming back. So I blow that into the chest and into the top of the head. So that doesn't need to be physical touch. Some people don't want physical touch at all. It doesn't need to be, but it's just in the energy field of that person is good enough.
And how many sessions normally, and I know that's a very difficult question to answer because everybody's different with different problems, but normally, how many sessions would somebody come to you for?
They're definitely, typically, more than one, always, because we all need more than one healing session. So I would probably say at least three, but it really, really is down to that individual. And that's not a pressure to, ever a pressure to say they turn up for one session, therefore you have to turn up to three. They have full control of whether they come back or whether they go to a different practitioner and follow on further work. That's up to them. But that one thing for sure is that we usually have more healing work done than just one session, basically. And the other thing to add about the healing work itself is 50% of the healing. So I'm here, I'm, say for example, we've talked about soul retrieval, so I'm retrieving the soul part and the soul part comes back, and then the healing story is given, and, you know, giving them journeys of where, why it's come back, giving them the healing story. And then there's work for them to do, you know. So they leave this session and it's not just like, hey, I'm fixed, I can carry on. There's you observing your life or observing what information the spirits have asked you to do for integration. So for allowing that the soul part to integrate fully into the body. So usually that's what's happened after a session as well, that they've got work to do.
And that work, does that take the form of a meditation, or what typically does that work involve?
Well, it depends on what the spirits say. It's very, very unique. But one thing, if regardless of what information I would say, is to go out into nature, because nature is the physical face of spirit. So go out into nature, and one beautiful thing to do and very powerful thing to do is sit by a tree and start asking questions. As so there's a tree there, it's the physical face of spirit, you've just had this soul part back, returned back to you, and then you sit in a meditative space. You don't have to be able to do a shamanic journey, it's just being in that very peaceful, very present place, and start trusting yourself with the answers that are coming, because that's definitely the key. So when you're having this conversation of, what is there any other information I need to know? Then please tell me. And whatever information is giving back to you. And just being in the energy and the presence of nature is powerful enough.
Wonderful. So now I'd like to know a little bit more about you and how you discovered this work and what your personal journey was to the moment where you thought, oh, I want to find out more about shamanic practice and shamanic work. So what was that? What triggered you into, or what occurred in your life that led you into this work?
I would definitely say it's lifelong. It was began, when I was a child, I was always that curiosity of the unknown, the unseen, the ambiguous side of something. And I didn't know what it was then. I would say one of the keys, really, or my curiosity was very clear in a physical form, was when I was very young, I was interested, or my dad was a Christian. So he, we were shown God, I was shown God. And so we used to go to church and occasionally, not religiously. And but my curiosity in that, and being so young, it just really sung with my heart, actually. And so I really embraced it when I was young. But then as time went on, I realised that's a religion, and I don't have anything against religions at all. But it wasn't what really sung true in my heart. It was a key in, it opened the door for me into the unseen. And I only became aware of that as I got older. And when I did some my ecstatic awakening dance training with Rebecca Hanscom, I can't remember what year that was, but it was a 10-day intensive. I was really not in a good place in my life at the time, and I was struggling, and at that point I wanted to reach out. And before all of this, I was curious and into nature and just always doing something different. But on her course was the first time that I did a shamanic journey, a real, proper shamanic journey as such. And I remember at that point coming out, I remember the journey as clear as day, and I came out of it and I just sat up bolt right. Would you like me to explain about the journey?
Go on, yes.
So I'm just going to give you a little insight to it. And it was, we journeyed into the lower world. And I can't remember what the intention was, because you always journey with an intention, because that's what drives it. And I remember going along, and there was this little gnome. I mean, this sounds completely bonkers, but this little gnome was there, and I thought, you shouldn't be here. I kept moving around, moving away from it, like constantly just go away, until this little gnome just stood right in front of me and screamed at the top of his head saying, you need to forgive yourself and set yourself free. And I remember my whole body in that journey just did something, and luckily the journey came out, she started drumming and I came out and I just bolted upright and I bawled my eyes out, and it couldn't have been more what I needed to hear at that time. And that was the key for me. I thought, wow, it just set me off somewhere.
And where was the somewhere? Where did you then go to start learning how to practice shamanically and then obviously develop a healing practice out of it?
Well, I did a 10-day, during this sort of period of when I really wanted change and a lot of change was happening, I did a 10-day one-to-one with a guy called Duncan Wordley, and that really was a good opening to shamanism. And I was in the woods he did, like, gave me soul as a power animal retrieval, and then I sat in the woods and I made this doll, and basically it was all the things that I wanted to get rid of, and I made this little medicine wheel directed by him, and just did so much work out in nature, and it was just like, oh my God, this is the thing that I've been doing all of my life, but you know, this is earth based. All of the things just went slotted into place. But as time, so that was one kind of key into it, and it was really intense and really powerful for me, a real change in my personal life, which is always hand in hand with the work that I do, my personal life, and then doing the work, because I have to do the work to allow it to come into me, come to me. But when, so then I was really curious about Simon Buxton and his work, and with the Sacred Trust, Rebecca told me about him, and I was like, ooh, shamanism, all that curiosity. Anyway, I ended up going on his 2-day training, and that was definitely the key into, this is what you call all of the stuff that I'm doing. It's called shamanism. And I didn't know that until that point, you know. It just, everything that I'd done up to that point was, if we're going to put a label on it, a word onto it, was shamanism. And I didn't know that at all before. I was doing the work a long time ago. So, yeah, and then I ended up doing, 3-year practitioner's course with him and Darkness, and on the Melissa training now, and performing shaman with Naomi Lewis. So, yeah, it's definitely, opened up many doors for me.
We decided to pause the conversation there because there really was just too much for one episode. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Hayley's work with groups. And I'd like to mention here that she does have a retreat coming up. So if you want to experience her work on a deeper level, I think it's a 5-day retreat, then have a look on her website. You'll find a link in our show notes. So I'm not going to play out with my usual theme music because I just love listening to Hayley's amazing drumming and singing. So we're going to play out with a little bit of that. So thank you for listening. The next sound you're going to hear is going to be Hayley's singing again to play us out with that wonderful voice of hers. Thank you.